It's good to be back. I need to share with you, it's not really a confession, but maybe it is. This past Monday, I was still in Bozeman, and some of you are aware of this. It was International Buy a Priest a Beer Day. My daughter is very reverent. She and her boyfriend made sure that they bought me a beer on that day. They bought me more than one. Bozeman's just loaded. I mean, you think Athens has brew pubs. Oh, my goodness. Bozeman's just off the chart. We had a lot of fun. They bought me beer. They also gave me a ride home, too. One of the things that goes with that day is a connection with Luther. Hang in here with me, okay? Because Luther basically says, you know, beer's good, makes you happy, and when you're happy, you don't sin as much. So drink a lot of beer. Now, whether or not Luther actually said that, you know, Luther gets credited with saying things in the same way that Mark Twain gets credited with saying things. I'm not quite sure he said that, but nonetheless. It does go with, though, and here's the connection, it goes with the way Paul is talking to Timothy in that letter. Because basically what Paul says is that I'm not here because I'm sinless. I'm full of sin. I'm here because God is merciful. And that also goes with another, and I'm sure Luther said this, that we know and we need to live confidently that grace is what God uses to respond to our sinfulness. Mercy is what God uses to respond to our sinfulness. Just like Paul said. But the way Luther goes about saying it is, if you must sin boldly so that grace may abound. And that's very Luther too. And so on about my third beer on this past Monday, I was sinning boldly, I'm sure. But it goes with that. There's something going on here though, and it connects to the gospel lesson too. Jesus confronts naysayers. This second half of Luke is going to be like that. He's going to run into people who don't like what he's doing. And the only way that they've got to come back at him are with their rules. Jesus, you know, you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Jesus, you're having fun on the Sabbath. Jesus, who do you think you are? We've got rules. Now, bless our hearts, and I'm always going to cut the Pharisees some slack. Because, you know, we're from Georgia, so you start that with bless their heart. And then you go on to say this, they're doing the best they can. They've got their rules. What else are they going to go by except that way that has been handed off to them over time about what matters to God and how good behavior is rewarded? That was the system in place then, and they were dead set, pun intended, dead set on following that system. And that's what empowers their complaint back to Jesus that he's hanging out with the wrong crowd. It's because they think that somehow whatever their salvation is, it is still to be earned. By way of largely of good behavior, but their salvation is not a guaranteed thing. It is deferred. It's still out there. It's not to be celebrated yet. And that so their efforts have to be toward earning that salvation. And if somebody around them is distracting folks from that effort, well, they're a problem, because the big salvation moment is when all of us get it right on the same day. And boy, that's when good stuff's going to happen. That's who the Messiah is for. He's going to help us accomplish righteousness. Simultaneously, all of us are going to be righteous on the same day, and God's going to say, now I can save you. That was the system that was in place, and that was how they were operating. And so when Jesus comes along and starts hanging out with the wrong crowd, well, that endangers that possibility. And so they come back at him. You hang out with the wrong crowd. And so he tells them these two parables, which are just wonderful. Because they're really about not so much saving one's self, but the saving of something else, of another, of a sheep in one case. Diligent work matters, and we ought to be motivated toward good behavior, but we are doing it for whom? For the sake of others, for a lost sheep. And then into that salvation, my efforts bring someone else, not me, someone else in. And that's what we celebrate. Join the party. The same thing with that lost coin, too. Let's celebrate. The reward has been found that was lost. And my efforts are less about me and more about this thing of value that is lost that I want to have a hand in retrieving. I want it to be caught up into this celebration that is already in our midst. Remember, this is Luke's gospel, and Jesus, one of the things that's going on with Jesus is this presentation, for want of a better term, maybe incarnation is a better way to say it, of the immediacy of God's presence. He's here now with us. And all these things that we would have deferred until later, we needn't. The reversal is happening. The good fortunes are arising. Just His presence is evidence of that. And in Luke's gospel, He talks that way a little bit about Himself. All of it tied toward His intentions, toward the cross. Remember, He turned His face toward Jerusalem. Remember that? And all of it caught up into that purpose, that obedience. But nonetheless, here it is. This train's running. Get on board, y'all. And so when He tells these parables, He's speaking to people who have lived their lives as if they could earn their salvation. And He's saying to them, God loves you already. God is out there looking for you already. You are already a thing of value. That when you are caught up in God's embrace, the world celebrates. So it's having a real shift in their thinking. Now, for some of us, it might be hard for us to live our lives as if God were already present and life is supposed to be a party. Why? Well, some of us are hurting. Some of us are physically challenged. Some of us have a hard time paying our bills. Some of us look around and we see the world not working like it should. That there are lost sheep out there, for instance. And so it's hard, I think, for us to act like we should be at a party all the time. I get it. I mean, there's work to be done, for sure. But let's not fail to give God credit for that mercy that is already ahead of us. Episcopalians, this may be even doubly hard for us too, because we are so proud of Lent in our lives, aren't we? We love to do Lent, don't we? We love to look down the street and see those Methodists getting it. Their timing's all off. Bless their hearts. Here I go again, right? You know, and so many other denominations, it look like they're reinventing something called Lent. But no, we know how to do Lent. You know. And every year I get to this place, too. And it's always early in the season of Lent. David Buck, you and I have had a conversation about this. That this is Georgia. This is the South. The middle of February, there's a crocus popping up already, isn't there? God's work of redeeming the world and refreshing it and bringing life to the world, which we defer until Easter to celebrate, right? God's already ahead of us in that regard. But we prefer this compelling force that is we can earn our salvation. We'd rather be forced to march toward that. We'd rather be caught up in that purpose. That we could earn our salvation somehow means a whole lot more to us than this other compelling force that is God is way ahead of us already. God is looking for us already. God has already bestowed value upon us. And that ought to be the compelling force that is ahead of us, if anything is. And that's what we ought to be searching for and working our way toward, is keeping up with God and God's mercy and all the good stuff that's already going on. How else do you do that except to celebrate? Maybe a lot. Yeah, we have work to do. But our salvation is God's gift to us, not something we earn. And in gratitude, we can proceed. And for sure, we can strive to and do all those things that we feel compelled to do for the sake of others. Because God is merciful. Just like Paul said to Timothy. I don't know if Luther said it too. I'm sure somebody has found a way to put a meme on Facebook that looks like Luther said that. Okay. I know this. I wish every day was by a priest of beer day. That would be my way of celebrating. Well, kind of. Of course, they also have to be, you know, leave the priest alone to sober up day, too, or something like that, like hangover day or whatever. But y'all, God's mercy is miles ahead of us. And Jesus does what he does because of that. And we want to be a part of that, don't we? That's the thing to which we should be striving. That's the compelling force in our lives, is God's love. Thanks be to God that we've got that to recognize, that to strive toward, that to be grateful for. And you can buy me a beer anytime.